If you remember, was it 3 or 4 weeks ago, Stuart had a sermon with 22 points in it. I'm not going to try and compete with that, as you'll be glad to know. I'm going to try and balance things out. I have 2 points, just the 2 points, to my sermon this morning. If you reach for your Bibles, there'll be a Bible in the seat in front of you, underneath it. And we're reading from Psalm 124. It's in the Old Testament, and you'll find it on page 617, Psalm 124. It's given the title, God the Protector of His People. And there's a superscript letter U. If you look down at the bottom of the page, it tells you that it's by David. So this is a psalm by David. Psalm 124, this is the Word of God, reading from verse 1. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Answer, O Israel. If the Lord had not been on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their furious anger against us. Then the flood would have carried us away. The water would have covered us. The raging torrent would have drowned us. Let us thank the Lord who has not let our enemies destroy us. We have escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken, and we are free. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. The life you and I live can be tough. It can be very tough. For some, life is harder than it is for others. Life can throw up many challenges, obstacles that have to be overcome. Sometimes the challenges can be small and irritating. Other times they can be overwhelming. They can come suddenly. They can be of short duration or seem like they will never end. As Christians, the Bible tells us we will face challenges. We will face persecution, ridicule, and will be ostracized for our commitment to Jesus. We are not immune from falling ill. Neither are our families or friends. We are not immune from calamity. And when calamity comes our way, certain thoughts and doubts can come into our minds. Why did this happen? Have I done something wrong? Why does God seem so far away from me? Why does He not answer my prayers? The evil one loves this. He hates you and loves for you to doubt. This psalm tells us that the Lord is on our side, even when calamity comes our way. Psalm 124 is a song of ascents. It is one of 14 psalms grouped together which are given this title. A song of ascent would typically be sung by pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the festivals. A song of ascent would be shared with one another and passed on to the younger generations. It was a song for everyone to recite. And as mentioned, our particular song of ascent is attributed to David. Commentaries don't always agree about which episode in David's life this psalm refers to, but one popular suggestion is that it occurred very early in the reign of King David. In 2 Samuel, we read that when the Philistines heard that David had become king over the whole of Israel, they came up to fight against Israel in full force. And Israel had not long ago fought the Philistines, and they had lost. They had lost badly. They were defeated, and Saul, who was David's predecessor, the then king of Israel, was killed. He took his own life. So Israel's army was depleted. The Philistines would have been in high spirits and confident of victory. Israel was in a perilous position. In that passage in 2 Samuel, we read that David inquired of the Lord, and God said He would deliver them. So let's look at our passage a bit closer. I think there are two sections to this psalm. The first verses 1 through 5 I've given the title, Without God, Destruction Looms. So verse 1 reads, What if the Lord had not been on our side? Answer, O Israel. So imagine the pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem, and someone, whoever's leading worship, shouts this phrase out, What if the Lord had not been on our side? Answer, O Israel. And in verse 2 following comes the reply, so everybody joining in, a resounding chorus would have been heard, If the Lord had not been on our side. And the psalm follows. This is worship on a large scale. So you'll notice that the Lord, if you look, is in capital letters. This is the name that God revealed to the Israelites more fully through the Exodus. God asked Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, and Moses was a tad reluctant. Before Moses accepted the task, he said to God, It's all very well asking me to lead your people out of Egypt, but who shall I say you are when the Israelites ask me? And God said, Tell them I am whom I am. It's a difficult word to translate, and the Jews treated it with such reverence that they very rarely uttered it. And it's suggested today that it might sound like Yahweh. Yahweh is God's name, one of his names. And our Bible uses Lord in capital letters to make that point. So God was saying to Moses, This is my name, I am. And you're about to know who I am, what I can do. I'm going to deliver you from Pharaoh and his army. So the Lord we read about in our passage is the name of this covenant-keeping God. This is the name of the God who revealed his power through the plagues and the parting of the sea as he fulfilled his promise to give the Israelites a land of their own. It is the same God that David is referring to. The same God who helped the Israelites during the birth of their country is helping them hundreds and hundreds of years later. We read in verse 2 that it was men who attacked when they came up against Israel. And by the sounds of verses 3, 4, and 5, there was a mighty army. The men before them had the capability of swallowing Israel whole. Now God is sovereign. He is powerful. God could have prevented this happening, could he not? We read elsewhere in the Psalms that it is God who keeps Israel's borders safe. There are examples in the Old Testament where God defeated Israel's enemies before they even attacked. Could he not have done so here? And I think sometimes we ask similar questions in our own lives. Why does a sovereign God allow calamity? And the Bible doesn't tell us all we would like it to, only what we need for life and godliness. Could it be that he showed his power more fully to both the Philistines and the Israelites by allowing the Philistines to come up with all their might, all their power, all their human strength and arrogance? Will it show God's wrath and holy justice more fully to all, including the surrounding nations? Will the Israelites have learned to trust their God all the more afterwards? Things looked bad for Israel. It looked as though their time might have been up. David describes it using water analogies. Verse 4 reads, The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. And the raging waters would have swept us away. In verse 5. It is a bleak picture. One with little or no hope. A situation with overwhelming odds. You can imagine Israel looking out at her vast enemy. They look at the well-trained and experienced fighters that are in front of them. They look to themselves, their depleted ranks. They see how under-equipped they are, how scared they are, how under-resourced they are. These verses say that they were not only on the verge of being defeated, but they were going to be wiped out, swept away, no trace of them, swallowed whole. They were on the very edge, at breaking point, in great, great peril. That way of looking at a situation, however, would be to keep God out of the picture. That is the way to look a situation, if God is not on your side, a God who is not able or willing or concerned for his people. That is not how David looks back on it. He says, if the Lord had not been on our side, destruction looms. Verse 6 reads, let us thank the Lord. So this destruction did not come about. And this brings us on to our second point. With God, there is deliverance. This praise and thanksgiving was directed to the Lord, not to Israel and her own strength, not to her leadership, not to King David and his strengths and ability. Deliverance came from the Lord. Israel still had to fight. We can read about that in the same 2 Samuel passage we mentioned earlier. But David attributes the victory to the Lord. He says in 2 Samuel, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. And praise him because of it. We read in verse 6, that God did not let Israel be torn by their enemies' teeth. The hunter's trap had been broken in verse 7, and Israel was compared with a bird. A bird is utterly helpless in a hunter's trap or a snare. There's nothing that a bird can do to escape from a snare. It fearfully waits a slow, painful death or the return of the hunter who set the snare. The only way a bird can escape is if someone bigger, stronger, and more able helps. Someone who's concerned for the bird. Someone who is willing. And we read that the snare was broken and Israel escaped. And it was the Lord who broke the snare. The psalm finishes in verse 8 with, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The NIV or the ESV translate the original text slightly differently. They say, our help comes from the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Good News Bible misses out in the name of. Why is it in the name of? Why not our help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth? Why does help come from the name of the Lord? I think it's because his reputation is at stake when it comes to the nation of Israel. He has given her promises. He has always been faithful. He's declared himself trustworthy. Israel, time and time again, would walk away from her God. She would continually turn to other idols, turn to her own ways. She would look to the nation of Egypt for help. She would not be faithful to God, despite all he had done. Yet despite this, for his name's sake, he remained faithful. For his glory, he continued to call his people back. This is the kind of God Israel needed. This is just the kind of God I need. And it is the kind of God I suggest we all need. So praise him that this is just such an attribute of his. Now you and I don't have a mighty army lined up outside on Byers Road waiting to fight us. But we do have enemies, do we not? Enemies that are not of flesh and blood. Enemies that would love for your faith to be destroyed. Would love for you to stop spending time in the Word. To stop spending time in prayer. This life is full of troubles and trials, is it not? So I ask, what worries are besetting you? Financial worries, employment, troubles. Are you getting down about work? Is it too busy, too quiet, too stressful? Colleagues proving difficult? What illness is attacking your body, which of your family members or friends is causing you concern? What calamities are we facing that threaten to engulf us, that makes us feel like we might be swept away? Where does our help come from? It comes from the same God, the God who helped out David, the God who helped out Israel, the God of the Exodus before that. Our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Don't let that pass you by. Think of the vastness, the beauty, the complexity of heaven and earth. Who did God consult to make our planet or the stars? Who gave him advice? What previous model or plans could he use or copy? What instructions did he have to follow? How many mistakes did he make? How many times did he have to start again? Our help comes from this God. My wife and I recently bought our first house. God has been faithful and good in providing it for us, despite some overwhelming odds. And it's more than we asked for or imagined. But the house came with some problems. And I hesitate to say that these problems would have swept us away like a flood, because that was part of the problem. I had to tear the bathroom out and start again. So we had no water. There was no water that could have swept us away like a flood. To save on costs, I fixed it myself with the help of friends, and it took 4 months without a shower or a bath. Thanks to all you who put up with us and lent us your showers. All this to say that building a bathroom is complicated. I made mistakes continually. I was always uncertain about what I was doing. I constantly consulted friends and YouTube on how to do certain tasks, and I was reduced to reading instructions. I can't create a small bathroom in 4 months. In a sense, mankind doesn't create anything. We rearrange and mix together what God has created to make other things. God is mighty and powerful if he created heaven and earth. You and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. We have a God who's to be feared and who is wonderful. Is there anything too difficult for him? So I ask again, what problems are we facing? What mountain looms in front of us? What flood threatens to engulf us? Take a look at that problem. Take a look at how under-equipped and how unable we are to deal with it. Take a look at the seen problem and then look to the unseen God. Look to the Lord who is on your side. Realize he made heaven and earth, and nothing is too difficult for him. He will deliver you. Take it before the Lord in prayer time and time again. He is faithful, he is good, he is trustworthy. Even if all seems lost, even if our last great enemy, death, looms in front of us, we know that we have a God who made heaven and earth and who has promised to deliver us even from it. He promises to deliver us from death. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." In the book of Romans, does it not say we will face calamities? But God uses these events to the good of those who love him. We will face trouble and hardship, but can this separate us from the love of Christ? No. Romans 8 asks us if angels or demons, height or depth, present or future, can separate us from the love of Christ. Can anything in all creation? No. At times in my life, when the situation I am in threatens to overwhelm me, there are certain things that I could not do without. My wife, family, and the church offer support in practical ways, like giving us showers. I'm driven to God in prayer. More than all this, though, I need to be reminded of God's word, his sure promises. I need to be reminded that God is on my side. A friend once led me to a pack of verses which I was to memorize, and those verses have come through for me time and time again. When doubts come into my mind, I need to fight back with the truth. And I would commend this verse here to you. I'd commend scripture memory to you. This verse that says, "Our help comes from the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Another verse that I've turned to time and time again is Lamentations It's found in chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. And it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. That verse was written in the midst of great suffering. Israel found themselves in the worst event in their history, the exile. They found themselves without a country, which is part of God's promise, and without his temple, without a temple where God dwelt. It was what separated them from the nations round about them. Yet still, Jeremiah said, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. What a great truth. We can't lose. If we are alive in this world and a child of God, then in the midst of great suffering, we are not consumed, for his compassions haven't failed. And if our earthly life ceases, then as Paul says, we gain. We see Jesus face to face. One of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel, which, as you know, means God with us. And this is the wonderful truth of the gospel. It is what sets Christianity apart from other religions. This is the truth that says our sins had separated us from God. We all, like sheep, had gone astray. Each of us had turned to his own way. The Bible says we deserve eternal separation from God. God doesn't offer salvation to the angels, and he's under no obligation to do so for us. Yet Jesus left heaven, where he was worshipped, and came to the mess that was mankind. And Philippians 2 says that, being in very nature God, he made himself nothing and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He did this because he is God with us. He did this because of his great love, so that we would not be consumed by our sins. He did this because his compassions never fail. He did this because he is full of grace and mercy. God satisfied his wrath not on us, as we deserve, but on his Son. Our sins had us in a snare, like the bird in verse 7. There's nothing we could have done to break free from that snare. On the great day of judgment, our sins would have swept us away like the flood we've just read about. This would have been the case if the Lord had not been on our side, if Jesus had not broken the snare and set us free. Our help comes from the name of the Lord, and salvation is found in no other name, not one, only in the name of Jesus. Let's conclude. This psalm looks back at an event whereby the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, were in peril. The only outcome looked to be defeat and death. There was no way out. David wrote this psalm so that the whole nation would remember God's deliverance. He wrote it so that younger generations would know of the works of their great God. He wrote it so that God would be exalted and praised. And I was thinking, God has brought you and I through some tough times, has he not? Let's tell each other about times of deliverance, about victories won. Let's encourage and spur each other on with stories of how he has come through. Let's tell our children and children's children that Jesus is a rock who can be trusted, sure and firm, even in the midst of chaos. Maybe one of the reasons God takes us through trials is so that we can recount his faithfulness to our friends who do not know Jesus when they are experiencing tough times. If we have gone through tough times, we are more likely to come up alongside those who are suffering, to empathize with them, to support them, and pray for them. Let's pray that God would give us the opportunity, the love, the boldness, and the right words to say to our friends who are struggling, that he would use us to speak of his faithfulness. Life will throw up challenges and trials. It's a certainty. And we have an enemy, not of flesh and blood, but real all the same. And we're not able to get through this life on our own strength, and it is prideful to try. We need to remember that the Lord is on our side. We need to remember that the Lord made heaven and earth, and that is where our help comes from. Amen.